Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Ms. Lisa Harris. Lisa, why don't you take it from here?
All right. Thank you so much, Tanya. Thanks for allowing me to come on to your conference. And I just want to say that I had the opportunity to listen on and off to your first two speakers, and I am definitely going to follow up with Michael. He had some great, great information there. So here we are, and I am going to be speaking today about the new smoking, which is sitting time. And as a fitness professional, I am the owner of Enduring Fitness for You. So as a fitness professional, I'm always looking for ways to help people become more active. Because once you start talking about trying to get people to incorporate 30 minutes of exercise into your day, their eyes just start to glass over. So we're looking at a new way to look at fitness, which is simply getting people to get more movement into their day. So sedentary behavior is also known as sitting time. So this is prolonged periods of time when people are either sitting using their computers, any kind of screen time, maybe their cell phones, they're watching television, they're commuting. This has really become the new smoking, a new public health problem in this country and actually around the world, because there are serious health consequences that are resulting from people spending too much time sitting. In fact, the average American adult spends 9 to 10 hours each day sitting, and that is about half of your waking time. So that's a considerable amount of time that we're on our bottoms. And in fact, the number one leisure activity of older adults in this country is television watching. And I do a lot of speaking to groups of seniors, and when I pose that question to them, what do you think the number one leisure activity is in people in your age group? A lot of them are surprised because they themselves are pretty active, but then after they think about it and they start thinking about their friends and maybe their relatives, they realize that, yeah, a lot of people do really have that television going all the time. So the sitting time is a problem that researchers started realizing was something they needed to look at in about the 1950s. And there was a study that was done back at that time period that really started this whole genre of research. And I am going to spend some time explaining how sitting time becomes negative to your health, because I think it's important when you listen to the reasons behind the science, because you might have a little aha moment where you realize, well, that makes sense. Now I understand why it happens and why I need to change. So this research back in the 50s was looking at bus drivers and bus conductors. And what the researcher discovered was that the risk of heart attack was more than 2 times greater in bus drivers compared to bus conductors. And quite frankly, I wasn't even sure what a bus conductor did 50 years ago. But these were the people that walked around. If there was a double-decker bus, they would be going up and down stairs. But these are the people that would walk around and collect tickets from people and talk to people, making sure that they got on and off at the right stops. And obviously, the drivers were just sitting. So the researcher at that time looked at these two different groups of people and really realize the big difference in their risk for heart attacks. And from that time on, researchers have been really honing in on this sitting time problem. So what I'd like to do then is to talk a little bit about what we feel is happening while we sit that's causing some of these negative health consequences. And then I'll get into some strategies to decrease sitting time. So there is a researcher who is world famous in the field of sedentary behavior and obesity, and his name is Dr. James Levine. And he has discovered in his research that basically our bodies were designed to move all day. So if you think back over our evolution, if you think back, you know, thousands, millions of years ago, we have always been involved with running around outside, being busy, doing something, hunting, chopping down trees. And it's really been in the last about 50 years that machinery and equipment and more recent technology have really started to engineer all the movement out of our days. When I talk with groups of people, I like to see if anybody has watched the movie WALL-E. And so I have grandchildren, so I've seen that movie many times. But it's about the little robot that is abandoned on Earth when there is a catastrophe and everybody else gets off in a spaceship and is circling the Earth for many generations, waiting for the Earth to be safe enough to return to. And while everybody's up in space, they become very, very lazy, and the machines are doing everything. And by the time Earth is ready for them to return, they can no longer even get up and walk around because they've gotten so big and obese and lazy. So they, again, the movement is completely gone from their life. So what happens then, so we are engineered to move. So what happens then is when we sit for long periods of time, and I'm talking hours on end, which is not uncommon between commuting and people's working conditions and the fact that people do become addicted to their phones sometimes. And what happens is you basically are telling your body to prepare for death. There's no movement needed. We don't need to do anything. Shut down all systems. And so what we need to do then, obviously, is to counter that. So what I'm asking you to do right now, everybody that's listening to me, stand up. I know you've been sitting for some time now, so I just want you to get up, get off your booty, and just stand there for about a minute, minute and a half. So what has happened is you have just created some systems in your body that are starting to have some benefits. What scientists believe is happening is that when we are active, we use blood sugar or glucose for energy. So when you're active, when your muscles are contracting, we start taking that sugar out of our blood into the cells so it can be used for energy. In addition, we have fat circulating in our blood. We have fats from that are broken down from the foods that we eat. And when we're active, there's an enzyme that we have that also takes those fats out of the blood and into the cells to be used for energy. So when you stand up, you start a cascade of systems that begin to push that sugar and fat out of your blood into your cells to be used as fuel. These are all kind of connected to the action of insulin. Now, these molecular effects are activated simply by carrying your own body weight, literally standing up and contracting your muscles. You've contracted the muscles in your bottom, your core muscles, some of the large muscles in your legs. And so they are all going to work to get that fuel into your cells. And if this is done on a regular basis, it can radically decrease the risk of diabetes and obesity. So that's what's happening. That's what we believe is happening with the sitting and the negative effects. So there have been numerous studies where researchers have tried to correlate sitting time or maybe television time with certain chronic diseases. And there have also been studies where they've looked at the studies to analyze the comparisons and the relationships. So basically, to sum it up, the research has shown that people who sit for prolonged periods of time have a higher risk of dying from all causes compared to those who exercise regularly. So they have documented higher rates of type 2 diabetes, cancer, dementia, a slowdown in metabolism, cardiovascular disease, depression, neck problems, back pains, and just generally premature death, dying earlier. Now, when I mentioned slowdown in metabolism, that, of course, can lead to being overweight or obese. But specifically related to sitting time, what research is showing is that we have blood sugar, again, circulating in our system, and if we don't need it for energy, if we're not moving, that blood sugar can be converted into free fatty acids or a certain type of fat that's in your bloodstream in the body, and that can be deposited into the abdominal area. So ladies, listen up. And by the way, you can sit down now. And if you were standing longer than two minutes, great, because that's what we're talking about today. So ladies, listen up. If you are concerned about that weight that's kind of shifting in your body and you're wondering what happened to your waist, you need to be moving more, because those blood sugars can be adding to that abdominal fat, which is related to all kinds of potential problems with your heart and diabetes. So that's, again, the reason this is probably happening. And the sitting time has been coined as the, quote, the new smoking. So I'd like to explain to people a little bit what that means. So there was a group of scientists who did some research that was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And what they concluded was that for every hour of spent watching television after the age of 25, this would reduce a person's lifespan by nearly 22 minutes. Now, that doesn't sound like too much. So to put that in perspective, to really drive that point home, what these folks did was they looked at smoking and they did a comparison. So every cigarette that an individual smokes will decrease their lifespan by 11 minutes. And let me repeat, every hour of television watched decreases lifespan by 22 minutes. So put in those terms, sitting time is potentially twice as hazardous to your health compared to cigarette smoking. And I know that for many people is a huge, oh my gosh, moment, because we have been, you know, we have really taken to heart all of the negative aspects of smoking, and so many people have given that up. Now, there's another interesting study that was done that said that people who spend less time sitting, so for example, if you can cut your sitting time down to 3 hours per day, that you will be able to add 2 years to your lifespan. Now, you know, who doesn't want to live a little bit longer? We're not having you exercise any longer during your days, or, you know, trying to get out there and run on the treadmill or anything, but simply sitting less during the day. It's going to add to your lifespan. Now, I do work with some people who tell me that they do exercise on a regular basis. So why bother about needing to move during the day? Why bother about having to stand? Well, here's an interesting term that's been coined, and there's a new phenomenon called the active couch potato. Okay, we all know what a couch potato is, but an active couch potato is somebody who meets the government guidelines of 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per week, which if you could chunk that down 5 days a week, 30 minutes. So I've got people who are meeting those guidelines but are sitting for 6 to 8 hours a day. The problem is that the 30 minutes of exercise is not undoing the negative aspects of that sitting. So you could literally be, you know, every day going to the gym for 30 minutes and still metabolically have these chronic conditions still happening in your body. So I think that's kind of a scary thing, because, again, we've all been told 150 minutes of exercise per week is the goal. And what I believe is going to happen in probably the next 5 years is we'll actually start to see some guidelines for movement, for decreasing sitting time, as a regular recommendation from the government, just like the 150 minutes of physical, moderate to vigorous physical activity is per day. So, boy, all that stuff, all that negative stuff and why it's happening and all the negative consequences and whatnot. So what can a person do? What if you have a job where you have to sit all day? What if you enjoy watching television or binge watching or whatever? And what if there's not nice weather and you can't get outside and exercise? What's a person to do? So this is one of the things that I help my clients figure out or strategize about when I work with them is how do we get that movement into their day? So we've got several ideas, and every time I give a talk, somebody raises their hand and gives me a new idea. So I wanted to just throw a bunch of these out for you today. So first of all, remember that if you can reduce your average time spent sitting to less than 3 hours per day, this could give you 2 additional years of lifespan. So there is your goal, your long-term goal there. So one of the things that I always encourage my clients to do is to to go out and purchase some kind of a activity monitor. It could be something as simple as a pedometer that you're just going to click onto your pocket or your waistband, or you can go out and buy a fitness tracker. I myself have a Fitbit. My daughter has a Garmin. I know people who have the new Apple Watch. Even the some of these cell phones, if you just stick them in your pocket, they have an app that'll track your steps. But the first thing that I have my clients do is get some baseline data. How many steps per day are you taking? I was talking last week with a gentleman about this topic, and he has a mother who's living in an assisted care facility, and she was proud to get her steps over 300 per day. And I thought, wow, there's some goals there that that lady can put into place. And I don't know what kind of health issue she had, but it's always important to start with where you're at. I have a client that I had been working with a couple months ago who works a lot at his computer during the day. He actually has two jobs. One is he dabbles in the stock market, so he spends a lot of time researching that. And then he has a nighttime job that's pretty active, but he does a lot of computer work during the day, reporting on that and trying to bid new jobs. So when we started talking about activity, he pulled out his iPhone. He said, let's see what I have. And unbeknownst to him, he had been recording steps for months. And his average was looking about maybe 1,500 to 2,000 steps per day. So with this gentleman, what we did was we gave him a goal. So the goal for that first week was to get his steps up to 3,000 steps averaging per day. And he is now well over 12,000 steps per day, again, just keeping his phone in his pocket with him at all times. Now, the recommendation is about 10,000 steps per day. And so I'm 5'1", and when I hit my 10,000 step mark, I've walked about 3.8 miles, and for people with bigger strides, that might be about 5 miles. I think generally people say that 10,000 steps is about 5 miles. So again, the number one thing you can do is get some kind of an activity tracker, start to monitor how active you are, and then give yourself small goals on a weekly basis to increase your activity. If you watch television, get up every commercial, walk for 2 minutes. That's a real easy one. If you're working, you've got a break. Every 2 hours, you've got a break. So take advantage of that. Walk for that 10 minutes. In addition, stand up every 30 to 60 minutes. If you can set a timer, if you can put an alarm in your computer or something to remind you, very important not to sit for long periods. I had another client who was a lady in her 80s who had Parkinson's, so she did spend a lot of time watching television and very low-tech. So what I had her do was to simply set the timer in her kitchen for 60 minutes. And so when 60 minutes were over, she would stand up, She'd walk around a little bit. She'd reset her timer, and then she'd go back to her book or television, whatever she was doing. If you spend a lot of time on the phone, walk while you're talking. I'm doing that right now. That's perfectly fine. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or the escalator. That's great for your heart, great for your muscles. Park in the far corner of the parking lot. Get yourself some extra exercise in that way. Again, going back to a work setting, talk to coworkers instead of emailing. Have a walking meeting. When I was working as a school food service director, sometimes I'd publish an agenda and we would, if it was not going to be a long meeting, I would have somebody take notes and we would walk while we were conducting those meetings. Change your printer so it prints to a printer on the other side of the building or upstairs or down the hall. Use the restroom upstairs. Use a trash can down the hall. A little note here, though, if you are going to become less efficient at work, make sure that your boss knows that what you're doing so that you're not accused of wasting time, because we certainly don't want that to happen. But we are just kind of asking you to do the opposite of what we've been trying to do in all these years to become more efficient. So we're asking you to, go ahead and get up and walk around, but make sure your boss knows you're not wasting time. You're just investing in your health. If you're at home, fire your housekeeper, fire your gardener, do that work yourself, buy a mower that requires you to stand behind it and push it, and that will be a really great way to get that exercise. So those are some ways to add exercise during your day. In addition, don't forget what is considered moderate activity. Most people think, well, I don't walk that much, so I can't really get that time in. But there are other activities that are classified along those same lines, being the moderate activity, dancing, tennis, badminton. I have a client who lives in a 50 and over community, and every morning, 5 days a week, she spends some time playing badminton. This lady is in her 70s, and her balance, we do exercises to help improve her balance, and her balance is pretty good for someone that age, but it's because she runs around that badminton court. So badminton is a moderate level activity. Gardening, just get outside and do your gardening. Biking, bike riding, great activity. Swimming, of course, is also a wonderful activity. So I want to offer to everybody, if you would like more information about movement or ways to get activity into your life, I do have a free ebook available, which is on my website, enduringfitnessforyou.com. That's ENDURINGFITNESS, the number 4, the letter U, .com. And the free ebook is 7 Fitness Myths Debunked, which looks good on paper, but it's kind of hard to say when you're talking with all those funny letters. 7 Fitness Myths Debunked, and that is available on the website. Also, if anybody has any questions, I would be happy to spend a strategy session with them. My email address is lisa@enduringfitnessforyou.com. Again, lisa@enduringfitnessforyou.com. And again, I want to thank you, Tanya, for allowing me to come onto your show. And I look forward to hearing from people.